What's up, everybody? This is episode 7 of season 5 of Press X to Start. We here at Press X seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view and bring restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishnigga Wood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because of be watching niggas, a.k.a. who's got two thumbs and a PlayStation 5, nigga, me!
Hey!
Wait, no fooling?
No fooling.
Congratulations.
Nice. How you get that?
You know who got it for me?
Annie?
My sugar mama.
Hey! Yeah. Congratulations.
That's not clear that that's Annie, so...
It's oh, you're right.
That's not entirely clear that that's Annie.
I've been saving this news for like a few days because she got it for me for my birthday.
No, nice. That's awesome.
How did she obtain it?
Yeah, I'm about to ask.
Don't worry about that.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Trail of dead bodies.
Hey, stay out of their relationships.
Don't worry about it. Mind your business. Nah, she got progressive. She was in one of those long direct queues. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Bet. Okay. I'm glad okay. Welcome to the 1%er club. We can't talk to these broke niggas no more.
Exactly. Right? I'm getting in the private Discord chat now.
Oh my god. Now it's just what me and Cameron that don't have it. Because Jordan
technically.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm still ninth generation though. So. Right.
He sure is ninth generation.
But I keep it clean though. I am awesome, Sean man. MF Ross.
What's MF stand for?
Mystical Fart Knocker.
Ooh.
Oh, my. As opposed to a regular fart knocker.
Ooh.
I mean, you know.
It's proper that way.
Yeah, I'm the magical Negro this weekend.
And I am DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choices, a.k.a. Mr. Mass, a.k.a. Did You Know?
Wait a minute. We're not just going to let that slide. What in the world does that mean?
Oh, we're not. Mr. Mass doesn't slide. He's girthy.
Oh, God. Please. Please clap.
AKA, did you know
what
Anthem is no more? So I had to find myself another game to replace my love for Anthem, and I did.
When's the last time you played Anthem?
We don't talk about that.
He's just gonna call him out like that,
right?
It's funny. He's like, you replace it with what? You're playing Gundam the whole time.
Funny enough, though, the last time I actually tried to play Anthem, I literally could not log into the server. So I was like, oh. Well, guess
that
I
is, that's not good.
Yeah. No, it's not. No. But did you know, as I said, Anthem is dead, and I have replaced that with this game called Mass Builder I'll be talking about later on.
Cool. So is Sexy Bad Choices retired?
No.
Oh, okay.
Anthem is dead, but Sexy Bad Choices is forever.
I'm getting that tattooed on my inner thigh.
Oh, all right.
Okay. As a sexy bad choice.
Oh, okay.
Would you call your son a... Never mind. I'm not doing that right now.
Next.
Jordan, a.k.a. JXBot, formerly of Raventhorpe, and formerly 47, formerly Slayer. I don't know what I am right now. I'm just kind of running through some older games. Oh, I'm actually, you know what?
The gamer formerly known as?
Well, now I think I'm going to be Jordan Phoenix. Yeah, that sounds better.
You're playing Phoenix, right?
No.
Oh.
My man came through with the meteorologist energy. Right. Back to you, Press X to Start.
And now that we're all introduced, we're going to go into what we've been playing. And to start it off, Jordan, what you been playing?
Well, over the last 2 weeks, see, we did not do a what we have been playing last time. I've been playing a pretty good amount, but I'll try to keep it as succinct as possible. I beat Hitman 3, and it was great. You know, it was a great game. I think overall, like the main story thread, probably took you about 6 hours. But in terms of going through each one of the levels again, you know, through different methods, you know, you look at about a 30-hour experience. You're trying to get all of the challenges done. Do I do Hitman games? No. But I truly enjoy the ride. And I tell you what, that last sequence was hilarious. Basically, it's just Agent 47 just killing everyone. Like, fuck stealth. You guys get yourself a gun, a shotgun, and you're killing everybody in the room because of what they did to you. So, yeah, that was a great game. And I'm super excited about IO's.
No one tickles my nipples. Everyone must die.
IO's future with the James Bond property. We'll see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I finally beat Doom Eternal after a full year of having it on my hard drive, And that little robot in your base was never used. So I was super anxious about that during my whole playthrough. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. All the levels throughout Doom Eternal were very elaborate, except for the last two. And even going back to the last two bosses, I mean, it was kind of shoot it, and then you do like this little trick thing, and you punch it, shoot it, trick, punch. Just hold in the mind. If you want to test me, I'll see you find the- over and over again. So like in terms of the complexity behind their bosses, it just wasn't, I mean, like it left a lot to desire. And the last boss is just you just shooting at it. Like you're just shooting all of your guns. You're dodging, shooting. And the life system, you almost never die or have to restart the game. I'm sorry, restart from a checkpoint. So, I mean, I beat it on like normal. I'm not going to do Ultra Nightmare mode like a fucking crazy person. Because Ultra Nightmare mode is when you die, the whole save restarts. You go back to the first level at the beginning, no matter where you are.
Nope.
So probably just do a regular old Nightmare mode, which is very much so staggering enemies and using them for health over and over again. Like, it's pretty simple, but very fun. And also, the game has in-game cheat codes you're able to unlock throughout the campaign. So at the work one day, if I'm trying to be, you know, God to these demons, I just put in, like, the invincibility, no ammo, light machine gun, and I just, you know, unload.
Okay.
But, yeah, Doom Eternal is great. I highly recommend getting it. And I think it'll be a few years till we see, maybe a couple years until we see the next iteration done by Bethesda Studios of the Doom series. And I haven't played the DLCs, but I'll probably play the DLCs later. Okay. Last time I started a new game that was on Game Pass called The Tourist. Beautiful game. You know, it's in 4K, 60 frames per second locked. Like there's a Bloxy, you know, type of puzzle game. Mm-hmm. You just go for, like, it's basically like a roguelike mixed with like a regular puzzle game.
Yeah, and like you when you were talking about this, I was kind of shocked when I looked it up and I saw like art style. It's like, oh, this is not what I expected.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a beautiful game. Yeah. And you just go from island to island solving puzzles, you know, but yeah, I'm just working through that. And it's not a long game either. It's like 5 hours long. I played Gears Tactics, which comes with Game Pass, seeing that, you know, Xbox owned the Coalition and all that. So a lot of these first party Xbox studios have all their games on Game Pass. And Gears Tactics, Donald, is very much similar to XCOM. Mm. Like that style of RTS real time strategy game, you know, you just, but it's way faster though. Way faster. The way their Overwatch system, I don't know if you played XCOM yet, but their Overwatch system is very different. To which is a field of view type setup. Mm-hmm. And if an enemy were to be caught within the Overwatch while they're moving, they'll be interrupted and they can no longer get into cover. It's very quick. You know, you have executions, you have your chainsaw, you know, lancers and stuff like that. It's very fun, but very challenging too. I'm playing it on normal mode and the game gets you sweating. Like, you know, you will sometimes be like to the last mag in some situations and you got to make some pretty tough calls. I've used certain gears to like trigger overwatches, like if a person I was controlling or a person on my squad was quote unquote weaker or more expendable, I'm like, all right, you're up next, just throw them right in the overwatch and make sure the veterans survive because I can't go without someone that's ranked up. So if you ever were to experience that style of RTS, I would highly recommend Gears Tactics.
Gotcha.
And finally, okay, I've been playing Yakuza 0. Kiryu is the best video game protagonist in video game history.
Wow. What the hell with Marcus from Watch Dogs 2?
Right. The game is, it's so sincere in how it establishes itself. Like, Kiryu is like this former Yakuza, but, you know, due to certain circumstances, he had to lead organization, and the reason why he's leaving is very much so for someone that he trusts, someone that he's very appreciative of, basically a mentor of his, who was proxy to a crime that Kiryu was being accused of doing, a murder. And the game is just like you're walking around this entertainment district within Yokohama, and you are solving people's problems. But their problems are just so weird and strange and just off the cuff. Like, this one mission had me make this woman a better dominatrix because she just wasn't she did not have the quote unquote confidence or skill level to be a proper dominatrix.
And that's always an issue too.
Yeah, like basically, you know, Kiru like hears her out and says like, okay, you can try it on me. Like in terms of, you know, like what you're supposed to say to someone and stuff like that. And it was just a weird, sincere moment that happens time and time again. Like Kiru just goes around helping people, you know, and the game
Yakuza sounds kind of like a certain type of slice of life action anime that was really popular in like the 90s with your GTOs and, you know, Great Teacher Onizuka and stuff like that, where it feels very like
what are all these funny heavy words you're saying?
Well, it's just like there's a certain type of slice of life,
yeah,
genre anime, yeah, that also had action in it, but whenever they would do those like side episodes where they were doing really sincere, heartfelt things to offset some of the action and sometimes blending with the action for comedic purposes, that's what Yakuza sounds like, especially Yakuza Zero.
You know, it's a great game, and the story thread of the main character is, you know, pretty elaborate. So that's all I have to say for Yakuza Zero. And as I work through the remaining Yakuzas, you hear about them too, because there's six of them right now at the work through.
Jesus Good Christ. Lord.
There's so many Yakuza games.
But that's all I have to say.
All right. Next up, me. And the only
Marcus,
thing
what
that
you
I,
playing?
The only thing that I got to talk about, except for Outriders, which we'll get to later.
Outriders! I just wanted to do that.
Is the Ghost Runner demo, because
that's the game that was built from like the one person, right? That's the first person shooter ninja game.
Yeah, it's like
thing?
First person. Yeah, okay. That's the one. And I was just like on PlayStation Store, and I wasn't feeling like playing Overwatch, and I was like, let me see if there's any demos that look interesting, because I was also waiting for the Outriders demo to drop, but it hadn't yet. And so I was like, all right, let me check out Ghost Runner just because.
What a terrible existence to sit there and wait for that thing to drop. I'm sorry, continue.
And I played like 5 minutes of that demo and I deleted that joint off my system because I hate the way that it controls.
Oh, no. Hmm. That's not what I was expecting. That's something I would do.
It just, like, I'm usually not a big stickler for controls. Like, as long as it controls fine, you know me, I mostly play games for the story and the characters. So I can deal with whatever controls as long as the story and stuff is engaging. For this, clearly, the control scheme and, like, the kinetic action is the main thing.
Okay.
And just the way that the game is mapped out from a control standpoint, I just didn't really like it, especially because it's first person, and so they rely on you dodging because you can't really jump like that, and it's just weird. Like, it feels like it should have been a side scroller or like a roguelike, but they made it a first person game for whatever reason, and so the controls being first person, it's very disorienting. And
wow,
like, there was a section that I couldn't get by because every time I was trying to dodge one person's stuff, I was getting shot from another direction, and there's a cooldown on your dodges, and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, thankfully it was a demo and I paid nothing for it, so I couldn't be too mad at it. I was just like, all right, well, wasn't for me.
Mm.
On to the next.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was all I've been playing.
Okay. So, for me, I went back to Animal Crossing.
DJ, what you been playing?
Ah, thank you. Thank you for asking, Marcus. Since you asked, I went back to Animal Crossing.
Why?
Because I was under the assumption from somewhere that the new Mario content was going to drop on the 27th of February. So I opened it up to find out that I was actually incorrect. And
you've been bamboozled.
And Mr. Tom Nook was trying to entice me to buy more storage space for my house because he knew that I was completely filled up, like to the brim. Like, I couldn't accept anything from the ground. Nothing. Turns out it costs 500,000 bells. And
damn. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I was like,
did he already just give you the space and bill you for it?
No, he wants the money first.
I noticed you need some space over there.
No, that's basically how he was introducing it. But I went to my bank and I was like, oh, how much money do I have? Because I haven't played this in a long time. I have 14 million bells. I was like, you could take the 500,000. I don't give a fuck. So I got that, and then I literally got the space, and I turned it off, and I was like, I'll see you in March 1st when I get the Mario content. The other game that I played that is not Outriders is, as I said in my AKA, Mass Builders. You're wondering, what is Mass Builders? I'll tell you. Mass stands for Mechanical Assault Skeleton Suit, and then Builders at the end.
I'm already bored.
Fuck you, okay? Mass Builders is basically the Armor Core game that I wanted in the visual style of the old Sega game, Virtua On. This game looks...
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah. Virtua On was a arcade game where you played as, like, really colorful and poppy, like, robots. Mm-hmm. And you were, like, dashing and shooting and shooting and dashing. Anyways. Mass Builders is basically the combination of the art style of Virtua On with the depth of Armor Core in terms of the customization and the different ways you can, like, spec out your mass suit or whatever they call it in this game. It's really cool. It's really fun. It's on Steam. It's not on consoles, and it's in early access, and it was about $20. So far, I've played about... maybe about like 8 hours or so of it. And I'm having a good time. This game offers a level of customization that I didn't know that I want. And now that I have this, I don't know how I'm going to react to the next Armor Core game, because that's supposed to be happening from Software sometime. In this game.
Sometime.
Sometime, yes.
Emphasis on the sometime.
So in this game, you can create melee weapons, and they break it down by, you have a handle, and then you have the actual attack part of the melee weapon. So I had a melee weapon that was just a handle and two mace balls on the left and right of the pommel. And it's just like, it's this weird, awkward.
So it's a dick.
Yes.
Yes. I was going to go there, Marcus, but you got there first.
I had no plans when I started, but then when I ended, I realized, yes. But the game is really fun. There is a story, but it's a very anime story, so it's not, don't expect to be, like, astounded by the character building and all that stuff. No.
You know what? I thought about sending you that 13 Sentinels Aegis game.
I looked at that, and I think it looks cool. I was a little off-put by the actual combat.
Yeah, because it's a very, very different type of real-time strategy game.
Yeah, so like,
but it got good reviews.
It did.
Amazing reviews, and there's some people that, like, within that community that are loving that game.
I feel like it also got good reviews because the main characters in there are, like, half-naked girls, half-naked high school girls, and that's an issue.
Oh, okay.
On itself.
Well,
yeah, but that's pretty
are people
much-
really giving? Did if it got good reviews from, like, publications? I don't know if that would be why it would get good reviews. Especially because, you know, the way people review games now.
I bet you would enjoy food a lot more if the plate was a naked girl, Marcus.
No, that's unsanitary. What the hell?
Donald, your analogy.
In the middle of a pandemic?
What's wrong with you?
Like, you have bad analogies.
You should feel bad.
But what else? I mean, what
but
else
have
you been playing, DJ?
That's all I've been.
Well, I've been playing Spelunky 2, gosh darn it, and it has an online component, and I was tired of dying by myself one day, and I said, hey, let me try it online.
Misery loves company.
Mm.
Wouldn't you know, I got paired with some people that knew what the hell they were doing. My guy, they took me to places I had never seen before.
Oh,
I can show you the world.
Yes, I felt like... I may have to give up some cheeks after this because they pretty much flew me out.
Oh my.
And, you know, they took me to a restaurant. They have a club in the game that you can go to. I'd never been, you know, They pretty much took me to every secret world possible in the game. And the whole time my mouth is just agape, just watching like, wow, wow, wow. I was supposed to be going to eat dinner. Drea was like, come on, you ready to eat? And I'm just like, no, wait, I've never seen this before. Oh my God. And then she sat down and started to watch because there is like 8 secret worlds in this game. Like you can beat it and then there's still a bunch of shit after it. Like,
oh my.
If you want to, you know, go the distance.
Which console are you playing it on?
PS4.
Okay.
And it's funny because the Reddit community says that Spelunky, you know, the people who play it are very toxic. If you don't know what you're doing on there, they will whip you and try to kill you and all that good stuff. But nah, these people were nice to me. They kept on trying to share resources with me, even though I was just pretty much a drag on their experience because I had no idea what they were doing.
Do you play as a black character when you play Spelunky?
I did unlock a black character, so yes.
Did they try to whip you as a black character? Because that would be...
No. You know what is funny? In the game, they have hired hands that you can get to help you carry stuff and do whatever. They also have leprechauns that you can kill, and I think like you can get like a pot of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And you beat the pot of gold to get the gold out. And I didn't realize that if you hit the hired hand enough times, he will retaliate and whip you back.
Kill your masters.
He has a chain whip and he beat the shit out of me. Oh my God. I was highly upset.
I was waiting for when this is all presented on a naked body, but I didn't. He didn't get there. So
that is the other podcast, DJ. Oh. Anyway,
true.
He went Django Unchained on your ass.
I also played GTA Online for the first time in 7 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to get to how much I have in a second. I did one mission where it's almost like Fast and Furious 6, as we discussed, where they had this flip car and we were escorting somebody from a bank heist. And our job was pretty much, there was 2 flip cars in the lead and one car or one van with the bank robbers that were following us. And we were pretty much just flipping police out the way. This shit was pretty damn awesome. It reminded me why I liked it in the first place. Because I'm level 38 on there. So I may play it a little bit more when they release the PS5 update.
Okay.
Which will be free, Marcus. We can play.
Let's go.
I wish that there was crossplay with...
Yeah, I do wish there was crossplay.
It's not crossplay?
No, it's not.
Fucking surprisingly not. Mm-mm.
Because...
And there was no cross-gen progression either. So, like, mm-hmm. I had played it... Well, I guess I'd be cross-platform because I played it on the Xbox 360. But it's funny because I played with my friend last night who let me play Assassin's Creed Valhalla and all that and Call of Duty and what have you. And he is just starting out in the game. And he's like, yo, I'm kind of broke. I don't got no money. I only got like 40,000. I was like, oh, 40, I got like 3 million. He was like, what? Get out the car.
Can you believe that game has been around since 2013? It's been 8 years. Came out September 17th, 2013.
So get out your car. You're walking.
No. We got out the car and he shot me. He thought he could rob me, but my money is in the bank.
In the bank, yeah. You know what? Actually, Sean, that used to be a problem when it first came out. GTA Online was first a thing. People did not know how to use the bank system.
Yep.
They just kill you.
Oh, I learned immediately.
Mm-hmm. Like people just make beelines to the ATM. They're like, oh, shit.
Well, you know, it's like Joe Biden said, you know, the minorities don't know how to use computers. So that's why
they're just as smart as
that's why you know, people weren't putting money in banks at that period of time.
I thought there was a second part to that, like a joke, but no. Mm-mm.
Well, he did say poor people can be just as smart as white people, but I mean, that's just old Joe talking.
The ironic part of that is most ATMs are located in poor communities, not actual bank branches. Joe Biden is an idiot. But continue.
But no, now you can actually deposit your money from your cell phone. You just go to the Moody's Bank app. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty cool. I just played that a bit yesterday. That was pretty cool. Okay, I haven't played it in a while. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. I blew up a couple people by accident.
You know what it is.
By accident.
When I would go to the casino and just totally shit away my money, I just go like on a tear robbing all the convenience stores. Like, I got to bring my money back.
I did not go to the casino yet. I may do that tonight.
Yeah, bet on blackjack. I love it.
But anyway, as everybody alluded to a little bit earlier, I played the Outriders demo by myself, and then I was joined later with Marcus and DJ.
Hey, it's our first collective game in...
A while.
Since Call of Duty.
245 days. I made that number up.
Nah. We played other things. I guess not. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, dear listeners, this game is the product of when developers are just so proud of their work on the refrigerator. This game is proud of itself. It just feels... It doesn't feel cool to me. The game feels cool to itself.
Yep. Yep.
But wait. The question is, what is Outriders? What are Outriders? Where is Outriders?
I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora?
And the answer is, your guess is as good as mine, because I have no idea. We played that game for at least 2 hours together.
We played it until about 2:30 in the morning.
Yep, and neither one of us could tell you what an Outrider is.
So, Outriders. What is Outriders? Outriders is the new games of service game from people who can fly. The same
people who can fly. Yeah.
They made one of the gears.
But you would have thought it was made by the people who did Technomancer, because this game feels like if that company, I think Spiders, made a Gears of War game.
Yeah.
This is how that game
feels. It should be called People Who Walk, because there is no flying in this game. Nor jumping. No,
there ain't any jumping in the game, exactly. Good Lord.
Yeah, so these same people that made Bulletstorm, and this is the
Cliffy B.
There you go, Cliffy B. Yeah, as Sean said, this is not a good game.
Nope. No, it's not.
To them, this is a great game. And
the thing is,
go ahead.
As a on the single player side of things, the game is mediocre. But the moment you come together in multiplayer, that game collapses in on itself.
Yeah, like a neutron star. Shit is bad. So, yes, I watched the Outriders stream before downloading the demo, and they made a note that, you know, before you buy the game, they want to make sure that you understand the experience you're going to get. And that they're basically alluding to what Cyberpunk did in terms of hiding the fact that the older console versions are not great.
Hey, don't come fucking asking for your money back now. You know, you know what you signed up for?
And boy, so again, what is Outriders? Outriders is the accumulation of Division in terms of the loot system. It's accumulation of Destiny in terms of the UI and the fact that you have powers, but it's third person. It's a cover base like Gears of War, and then it just does all those things.
But it wants you to be aggressive like Doom.
Yes. It basically takes all those things, and it's just really subpar versions of each one of those things, and they just push that together and put duct tape around the whole thing, and they call it Outriders. It's not.
By our mediocre powers combined, boy. We are.
And it has the main character of a really bad 90s action movie.
Man.
So, the actual gameplay. The one thing that I will say is a positive of this is, or of the game, is that they want you to combo the different classes together to do combos. And when it works, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The only problem is the way that they level the actual enemies, depending on, it's a weird thing where it's not like an average of the levels, which equates to how strong the enemies are. It scales up to the highest person level, is what it felt like for me anyways. Because when I jumped in with Sean, you and Marcus were at a higher level than me, and I felt like my class...
Only by like two levels, though.
Even the two levels felt like staggering, because like my class was a Devastator, so I was supposed to be the quote unquote tank.
Yeah.
And my ass was getting
DJ
tanked
was getting
by
rocked.
Everything. Like, but yeah, so in terms of the classes, there's the Devastator, there's a Pyromancer, there's a Trickster, and then there's the Technomancer?
Technomancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is the Trickster black?
How dare you?
The Trickster. Throw an ass in the
circle. Good for nothing. Tricksters.
Oh, by the way, we should let it be known that we all initially played with our first characters that we made, and then we decided to make new characters to try out the other classes.
Yes.
And I had a strong black woman named Petunia.
Mine was named Arya.
No. Name your second character, DJ.
I had a strong Asian woman named Jamaica.
I had a white man with dreads named Barbados Slim.
And my first character's name was Le Carpatron Duke Marriott.
Oh my gosh.
But like, I actually fully agree with DJ in terms of like when the power sets came together, because they do have somewhat of a combo system, if you will. Yeah. And when you can actually put the powers together, like, you know, the trickster class being able to like stop down time, or rather slow down time. And then you could combine that with like having two tricksters on the field is OP.
Yeah. You don't need the other classes.
You're wiping everybody.
Which is a problem to this game.
I feel like it was built around that first. That was like the first really fleshed out shit that it came out with.
Yeah, it very clearly was built around the trickster class, because every other class is subpar in comparison. But even still, like, if you have the trickster slow down and then you have like the pyromancer and you could like burn them up while they're slowed down. So things can work in tandem pretty cool. And then also I'll give it props that you can actually change your appearance whenever you want, because that's one of the things that's always annoyed me with create a character games, where it's like, it's a small detail, but one of my favorite mechanics in a create a character situation, well, not create a character, but like character customization, was in The Witcher 3, where over time your facial hair and your hair will grow.
Yeah.
Or with Red Dead, did the same thing.
Yeah.
And I've always liked it. If you can't do that, then I can still change my appearance and like give myself a beard or whatever. But so I'll give
you
that.
You can straight up change your race.
Yes, you can straight up. Yeah.
And the other cool thing is that the main characters are actually voiced. So often,
poorly, not well. They're voiced.
But yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to bring out positives, because not many.
Yeah, this game is super mediocre, and that's putting it nicely.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, you're adults listening to this. So you can do what you want, but we personally wouldn't recommend dropping $60 on this. This would be a $25 purchase at best, but chances are you're better off, if you really are curious, trying out the demo or waiting until it inevitably becomes a free PlayStation Plus game.
If you want to see on the fly analyzation of this game, watch us roasting this game on Twitch.
Yes.
Because I have a good 2 hours, 2.5 hours of us playing on Twitch. I may upload it to YouTube if Twitch isn't your thing. But yeah, we are.
Yeah, we'll definitely get it up on
The late night giggle session.
We'll definitely get it up on IG and YouTube, though, because it's definitely worth a watch, because we are making fun and poking fun the entire time.
Exactly. But now that we have talked about what we've been playing, we're going to have a word from our sponsors. Anybody got any ideas?
Clearly not Outriders.
Today we are sponsored by Press X to start social media channels. You should definitely check out our IG channel and our YouTube channel, because we have content that you need to watch. I'm not gonna tell you what it is, but you should watch it.
All right. Yeah. Press X to start social media channels.
It's game
sponsor us, nigga.
Hey everybody, have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best last news, reviews, and all things video games? Then we need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, share it with your friends, your family, frenemies, people down the street. Every little bit helps. To see what we're up to throughout the week, follow us on either Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, on Twitter at PressX2S, and on YouTube at PressX2StartTV. If you've done this, many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we're back. And now, it's time for the quickets.
Number one, this comes from Dual Shockers. Resident Evil Village features nudity and sexual content reportedly. Now, don't get your hopes up. It's not going to be tall lady sitting on your face.
Oh,
what's actually going to be happening,
man,
is the moth lady vampires. The vampire people that you see, the sisters, when they dissipate or kill, they're naked for a brief moment.
That's enough for everybody, I'm sure.
And also, when they kill, they'll turn goopy, and then and they'll turn into like crawly spider things, which aren't very attractive. So that's kind of where that is.
Speak for yourself, DJ.
I don't think they understand the internet.
Speaking of,
people will fap to whatever.
If it breathes, it can be sexy.
Speaking of things that I just don't understand, number two, this comes from The Verge. Sony is bringing back Twisted Metal as a TV show.
Whack.
Yeah, I don't, whatever. I just, okay, number three. This comes from VentureBeat. As I said in my AKA, BioWare cans Anthem next, and they focus on Dragon Age and Mass Effect. On top of that, this comes from Polygon. Dragon Age 4 will be a single-player RPG, and EA is cutting the multiplayer features, which is
good.
Thank God. They were going to make it a game as a service.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a thing that we didn't know, because that announcement wasn't made until this news came out, and it turns out they were canceling it. So it's one of those things of EA just being EA or BioWare. I don't know.
It's also it's for the best, because every multiplayer function that they've ever had on a BioWare game has been cheeks. Mm-hmm. The Mass Effect one was bad. The Dragon Age Inquisition one was bad. Mm-hmm. So they should just cut their losses on that multiplayer thing.
Yep. And then on the other side of this, because comes from number four. This is number four. Comes from Real Sport. Respawn Entertainment given the go-ahead for Titanfall 3, which is really cool.
Well, yes and no.
Oh, all right.
They just said it's up to them whether or not they want to make it, not necessarily go ahead and make it.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So if y'all want to make it, sure. If you don't, we don't care, whatever.
So basically they gave them the green light
and
gave them the choice.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa, play John Legend.
EA is has a history of being, you know, more quote-unquote hands-on with the content of their developers. And most of the time, that would be at the detriment of, you know, that developer that EA is funneling money to. So, I mean, EA, I think, had, like, some creative input in regards to the recent Mass Effects, Anthem. You know, it just feels like these developers under Electronic Arts would sometimes lose their focus, you know, when the priorities of a game is switched. So clearly, Respawn has proven that they're able to, you know, deliver a product without input from EA and be quality. Like, you know, the leader of Respawn has been very vocal of saying EA has nothing to do with this. So EA's like, you know what, I'm going to take a step back and see what they can create.
More power to them.
All right.
Well, go ahead. Next.
This comes from number five. This is Game Informer. Sony reportedly working to add support for PS5 storage expansion this summer. Ha ha!
Cool.
Because they fucking need it. Number six. I continue to be pissed at Sony. Anyways, number six. This comes from VG247. PlayStation is starting to shut down Japan studios. Now, this is bad news because Japan Studio was literally the studio that you think of when you think classic PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much had all of the Japanese hits. Like, they were responsible for Parappa the Rapper and Jamie Lammy. And there's another game that I'm forgetting. Anyways.
But what were those sales numbers like, though? So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, PlayStation is taking a more global approach. Whereas Japan Studio still wanted to create games that are targeted, like they're targeting Japanese market, essentially.
Their niche. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. But with this bad news, Team Asobi is still safe. They're the creators of Astrobot. So don't have to worry about that.
That's cool.
For right now, that's going to be it for quick hits, because we got really, really big, big heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm. Drop that thing.
So now it's time for the heavy hitters. Take it away, DJ.
Hi, it's me again. All right. So basically, this past week and a half, there was just a bunch of direct-styled
directs galore. Yeah.
So because we didn't do a official podcast last week, or a games podcast last week, we did do a For the Culture. You should listen to that, or you should watch it, because it is available on all your podcasting devices, and it's available on IGTV and YouTube. Check it. So, Nintendo Direct, they basically revealed Splatoon 3. That's going to be 2022. They revealed new Smash characters, Pyra and Mythra from Xenoblade. I have no idea who they were.
Are they both sword characters?
Are they sword characters? Yeah, they are. Yes. They're basically the main... I forget what
it's
the hell
Super
they call it.
Super Sword Brothers now. It's not even Super Lord. Smash Brothers anymore.
You're not wrong.
They're the main ones that you're paired with in the... In Xenoblade Chronicles 2, though. I didn't even finish that game. That shit is so long. Go ahead.
Next up is Mario Golf Super Rush. This looks awesome, and I'm going to get this. It comes out June 25th, 2021. And I also put this on my roster for the league. So fuck yeah. Next up, they showed Project...
Let me see if I can outbid him.
I already got it. It's already
on. It's already on his list. Also, last time we checked, you're at a haul of, 7 points?
Negative 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you would need 14 points to get up to 7?
I'll do it. I'll get him. I got some strategies right in there.
Okay.
Simple man.
Next up, Project Triangle Strategy. You might be wondering, what the fuck is Project Triangle Strategy? Project Triangle Strategy is the successor to Octopath Traveler.
Oh.
So cool. That comes out 2022. And then they talked about their Legend of Zelda support, which is they're going to bring Skyward Sword HD to the Switch. July 16th, 2021. And then
I may get this because I never played the first time around.
So a lot of people were actually upset about this because no one really, really liked Skyward Sword because that was attached to the Wii U. I think that was Wii U.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a lot of motion control stuff and people didn't want that. So Nintendo is bringing the classic motion controls, but they're also mapping the buttons to your controller so you don't have to do any of the motion stuff. So that's awesome. They're also going to be...
No, it was on the Wii first, but go ahead.
It was on the Wii? Okay.
Yeah.
They're also bringing themed Joy-Cons as well, and they look pretty dope. I was like, kind of want those. I don't want the Skyward Sword stuff, though, but I want the Joy-Cons. And then after that, they said that there will be Breath of the Wild 2 news later this year.
But no official release date, I'd imagine. No. Or maybe a release date, but not coming out this year,
Yeah, we're
course.
Not getting it this year, unless they're like, hey, the news is... It's out or whatever. We're not going to do that. That's Nintendo. Nintendo doesn't do that. That's it for Nintendo.
All right. Next up, we've got BlizzCon 2021 that happened. And I'm going to first talk about Diablo 4 because that's the thing that I know the least about and also care the least about. And then I'll go into the Overwatch 2 news. So for Diablo 4, we don't have a release date for it yet, but we learned that... the rogue class will be one of the first classes available. And then on top of that, there will be open world PvP and that the Diablo 2 remake is official and it will be releasing this year.
So real quick, the open world PvP thing is the biggest thing for this Diablo 4 announcement because, before this, Diablo was very much so like corridor based combat kind of stuff. So for the fact that they're like switching that whole game system to be open world is actually a big thing. I'm not gonna get it, but like I can appreciate what they're doing there.
That's a big shift, yeah. Okay, and then on top of that, Overwatch 2 news. This is probably the biggest info dump on Overwatch 2 that we've had yet.
Like 38 minutes worth.
Yes, it's a big old thing. There's only so much we can go into ourselves, so I would encourage you to go check out, I think it's on IGN and GameStop, the whole 38 minutes
or
of...
Or just YouTube, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it should be on several platforms by this point. But, so first, we got a good look at Sojourn and her big old thighs. Mm. My God. she is.
Do they rival Chun-Li?
Yeah.
They're actually, better because they're from the motherland and Chun-Li is not. Okay.
You're right. Well, I mean, depending on whose motherland you're talking about. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, we got a look at Sojourn. She has a rail gun.
Yes.
We don't know exactly what her, you know, alt or anything is, but we do know that she is a gunner class. And
she puts everybody between her thighs and squeezes.
Not a bad way to go, honestly. And because of the railgun aspect, she is both mid-range and I'd imagine sort of long-range. Yeah. Also, we know that they are kind of revamping the tank class. They are now being considered as brawlers, and they're doing more to make them, especially the shield tanks, more than just a standby and shield people, because there's a sort of a problem, especially with Reinhardt, where the moment that the shield breaks down, they're actually kind of squishy. And because they're tanks, the people will focus them, and it's not that hard to kill them unless they're being pocketed by a healer. So they are making sure that they're more durable.
Yeah. Actually, another thing.
And Reinhardt also.
I think you're going to talk about it anyways.
I was going to say Reinhardt also now is one able to use two of the Hellfire blasts, which is cool. And then also he can now better steer his charge, and he can cancel it.
Yes.
So. Instead of, let's say, Reinhardt players a lot of time will charge and they will charge you off the level, but they go with you. Now, because you can cancel it, you can charge them and stop and knock the people off the level and you don't have to take the L. So that is definitely helpful.
That one announcement made me be like, oh, they're actually like... Yes, that's exactly what I wanted. Because even playing as like Reinhardt, he wasn't my man.
That's the thing that's going to bring you back.
I
DJ?
Mean, that's a start.
That's the thing that's going to bring you back.
I'll tell you what, that's you're getting some chocolate there. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what,
because that's actually a big thing for me as well. Because my predominant character is Lucio, but I've been trying to get other characters in the other, you know, the DPS and the shield ranks. And mostly I use Orisa as a shield, but I've been messing around with Reinhardt in the last couple months. And while I like Reinhardt, some of the things that I talked about, him being kind of squishy when he doesn't have his shield, and then the fact that it's kind of hard to steer his charge, are things that kind of detract. And so these announcements are really cool.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they have these things called hero passives, which are implemented to kind of differentiate the three core roles.
I believe those were the shield people. They get a defense boost or so. Oh, they get knockback reduction. And then the attack people get a speed boost, and the heal people get a passive heal after like a certain amount of seconds not being attacked.
Exactly. And then on top of that, they kind of went into a bit more information about their PvE section, which is the story missions that they have in place to really differentiate it from Overwatch 1. Overwatch 1 had little anniversary missions that they did that were kind of sneak peeks at what's to come, but that was never something that stuck. This is going to be a part of the game from day one, so it allows for there to be some variety from if you don't want to keep dealing with the PvP and how that can be really frustrating sometimes. It can kind of liven up the gameplay loop and go in there with some friends who might not be in PvP.
I wonder how many people at a time could do it.
As far as I know, I think it's up to four.
Yeah,
but I'd have to honestly see.
I would imagine they would probably stick to whatever it was for the old PvE stuff for Overwatch 1.
I believe on the PvE missions in Overwatch 1, it was four.
Okay.
I believe it was four. Okay. I don't think it's six.
Yeah.
But and then they detailed some of the character differences, like how they've upgraded some of the character looks and everything, which is pretty cool. But they only really detailed Pharah, Reaper, and McCree. So they'll be showing more, I guess, as time goes along. But yeah.
Oh, Widowmaker?
Oh, yeah, and Widowmaker. Yeah, and Widowmaker. And honestly, it was some pretty exciting news out of BlizzCon for Overwatch 2. It seems like they've really been listening to the community as some of their complaints, and at the same time trying to take some of the things they did really well in Overwatch 1 and kind of keep up with that while updating it. So I'm excited for whenever we get Overwatch 2, because it's shaping up to be a really, really dope game.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
So.
Yep.
Next up, it is the PlayStation State of Play. All right, so
nice.
We had about 10 games or so that they showed off, and I'm just going to go through the list, and we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. The first one was Crash Bandicoot 4, and it's coming for the PS5. The release date is actually March 12th, 2021, this year. They said that it's going to have 3D audio, faster load time, save transfers, DualSense features, and of course, 4K 60, so...
I don't see where the 3D audio is needed in this game, but sure.
Yeah. Next up, they showed Returnal. That's coming April 30th.
Yeah,
so, this turns out that it's more roguelike than what I thought it would be. And it seems like there's a heavy emphasis on it being a skill-based game. So, the
combat... I mean, that's most roguelike games.
Right, exactly.
It looks like if Death Stranding had a baby with Nier Automata.
Yeah, that's actually a good comparison.
But it has story progression, too.
Yeah, still. Yeah. Because one of the last state of plays they showed, there was a section where the main character walks through a door and everyone thought that was like Resident Evil or something. And it turned out it was Returnal. Next up, they showed Knockout City, which was also shown in the Nintendo Direct. Mm-hmm. That's coming May 21st, and it's going to be $20. And it's basically a dodgeball game.
And it's crossplay.
And it's crossplay.
Yes. Play.
It looks and different. Its art style is... I mean, I wonder if they were trying to go the hero shooter route, to which each person has like a different style. But like, yeah. I don't think that goes down to the core gameplay. I think everyone has the same move set.
Everyone has the same basic move set, but everyone has like special moves.
Mm-hmm.
So
right,
yeah. And then, as Sean said, there's going to be a crossplay beta happening soon.
I wonder if this ingenious developer is able to get into Microsoft's rumored March showcase. Mm.
I kind of feel like that might be hilarious. The case.
Like this game's like the slow vanguard the summer. Like,
yeah, because I actually think, now that you say that, that kind of makes sense, because when they showed the game in Nintendo Direct, it was kind of like, oh, this is a Switch game. And then they showed it here, and it was like, oh, this is a multi-platform game. It makes sense that the next step would be Microsoft. So
this game's we'll a dark see. Horse.
So
I'm scared of it.
This next game, motherfucking Sifu. This shit comes from the Absolver developers, Slowcat. Slowclap. Mm.
Sounds like a STD.
Oh my god. it's going to be coming out this year, and this shit, when it starts, it looks like The Raid, the video game. And I'm like, fucking let's go.
No, they legit. That whole first section that you play, that they show, is straight out of Old Boy.
Is it Old Boy? Oh, okay.
That whole hallway, that's Old Boy.
Okay, okay. So basically in this game, it's heavy on the martial arts and you play as a martial artist. And the cool mechanic is that time is your currency. So when you die, you age a little bit and you become a better fighter. I'm not exactly sure how the better fighter part's going to happen, but...
Sifu means teacher, by the way.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're trying to find your teacher? I don't know. Anyways,
maybe
the game looks
cool.
You could, well, yeah, I guess you could be a teacher too, teaching people how to take these hands. Next up, it is Solar Ash. Solar Ash is coming sometime this year. This game, I like the art style of it, but I wasn't necessarily sold on what I saw.
Same.
Yeah, it focuses on movement. It's really big about the whole fluidity. I think someone from Kinda Funny said that the gameplay kind of reminds them of Sonic Adventures 2 or something. And when he said, I was like,
ooh,
I can definitely see that. Yeah, I get that. Next game, Five Nights at Freddy. You know, cool. Yeah. If you like that, I got nothing really to say about that. It's a horror game being a horror game.
They're making a movie.
Oh, my. Okay. That could work
as a parody of it.
Yeah. Well, they already kind of came out with a sort of Five Nights at Freddy's movie. It stars Nicolas Cage, and it came out very recently. Yeah.
Okay, so the next game is Oddworld Soulstorm. This comes out April 6th. This is going to be a 2.5D game featuring looting, crafting, and you can play as either chaotic or passive. And it focuses heavy on strategy, which I did not realize. The last Oddworld game I played was the one with the cowboy hat, and I literally played a demo of it and put it down and never touched again.
That wasn't a conventional Oddworld game. I don't know if y'all... they gave the remastered version of the original on PlayStation Plus. I would check that out if you guys actually, you know, added that to your library to see, like, what this will be like.
You know I didn't.
Because it's going to be... you suck ass. What the fuck do I tell y'all every week, every month? But it's going to be free on PS5, so
yeah,
you can try it this time, Marcus.
Yep. So it's free updated from PS4 to PS5. And that window is going to be between the day of the game release, which is April 6th, to May 3rd. Next up, motherfucking Kena Bridge of Spirits coming out August 24th. This game looks fucking great, and I am excited for it.
I'm excited for this Pixar movie.
Yeah, this, boy. So, this, okay, so the trailer that they showed for this was just an extended trailer from what they first showed. There was no, like, commentary or anything from the developers, which I was kind of looking for that. They showed off just, like, the character, more combat, like, how the combat works in the game. It is very much so, like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Horizon in terms of you focus on parts to, like, incapacitate or, like, stagger the boss and you, like, follow up with different attacks and stuff. At the end of the trailer, they showed a person slowly being consumed by evil spirits, and it looked really dope. And then after that, they actually showed, like, the boss fight after that, and it's like, I see what they're doing with this. Like, that looks cool. Next up, they showed Deathloop again, and now the game's coming out May 21st. This, in my mind, I think this was the best trailer of the entire show. The style of this trailer was beautiful.
Or the presentation, rather?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I really liked the trailer. I didn't really understand how Dishonored this game is. I guess in the first couple of trailers, like, I just didn't see that. And, like, in this, like, they explore more of the powers that you get. Like, you can do stealth. You can do, like, a quick, like, dash warp or whatever. And it's just... it looks really cool. And then also they show that the black lady that is your antagonist, she's actually like a white robot or some...
shapeshifter?
Yeah, okay, shapeshifter. That makes more sense. I'm not sure.
I mean, like, and I just want to say, even after the Bethesda purchase by Microsoft, this game is still a time exclusive for PS5. Like, it won't come out for Xbox Series X and Xbox One until next year.
Right.
But regardless, I've always wanted to try the Dishonored games, and I'm looking forward to see how this game develops over time, if more DLC or more iterations come out in the future.
Okay. Yeah, it still doesn't look that appealing to me, but the presentation of it definitely, it's definitely stylish, and I could see it being a, like, solid gateway drug to Dishonored games,
right?
From what I've heard.
Yeah. It looks interesting. The final trailer they showed, their one more thing, was Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade. Now,
yo, Square Enix with these names, bro.
Yeah, it's...
it actually means something, I forgot. It's a throwback to the original International FF7 bullshit, apparently. Yeah, it has something to do with that.
So that's coming
Still sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's coming out June 10th.
Oh, sure.
So this will be paid DLC exclusive for the PS5 version of Final Fantasy VII Remake. The other thing that we didn't mention here, because we were too focused on the games, is that they actually released what the March PlayStation Plus games, and Final Fantasy VII Remake is one of those games. The only thing is that if you get that game from PlayStation Plus, you are not eligible to get the free upgrade to the PS5 version because they want you to buy the game.
That's why.
So you have to do that. Anyways, in this trailer, they showed off Yuffie. People know Yuffie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another character called Sonon? I don't know. Yeah, he has a last name, but I didn't bother. He appears to be like a new character.
As far as I know, he's a new character. Okay. And even if he's not, he was never that big of a deal in the grand scheme of Final Fantasy VII. Gotcha. So with them being able to do all of these new things with this remake format, this DLC is going to be able to expand more on Yuna and her kind of bringing honor to the Wutai and being
Yuffie, right?
Sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah, Yuffie.
No, I thought that was about...
You mean Wu-Tang, right?
Yeah, Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang. No. The Wu-Tai is the clan that she's allied with. And
that's less cool.
I'm very excited to see what they do with this, because also, on top of that, the way that she plays looks really interesting, because she's doing a lot of chain moves with this Sonom guy, which looks really interesting. And also, in the trailer, they show a couple of characters that are tethered to Dirge of Cerberus, which is the shooter game that they did for Vincent a while back, which means that that game is canon in this universe, which means it's going to be real interesting to see what they do next, especially if these DLC formats in between the remakes are something they do going forward. Yeah. It might be a little teaser that we're going to get a Vincent DLC game down the line.
Interesting. So, speaking of one of those characters, we get a glimpse of Whis? I don't know, the Immaculate? Yes. He's a sadistic commander for a top-secret division of Shira known as Deep Ground. And we also...
his hair looks ridiculous, and that's ridiculous by Final Fantasy standards.
Boy. Mm. My man looks like Broly, but a slim, thick version of Broly.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
Eat some Pop-Tarts off those abs, boy. Anyways, we also get PS5 improvements from, you know, the standard improvements, and we also get a photo mode for this PS5 version of the game. So that's pretty much it. It was cool. I mean, you know, it was something where it's just like, oh, that's nice. I didn't expect anything from them.
It's okay, direct. Yes. Yeah.
So the final direct is the motherfucking Pokemon Direct. Let's go.
Pokemon. Excuse me?
Oh my god.
Sound like slavery to me, brother.
How dare you guys? What we doing? What's happening here?
Continue.
Okay.
Exactly.
So
enlighten us, brother.
I will. So they actually start the direct by enlightening everyone the legacy of Pokemon, starting from 1994 to 2021.
And a legacy of slavery.
Wow. More like indentured servitude, sir. Anyways, it was about like 8 or 9 minutes of just nostalgia, and I'm just like, oh, this is, I don't know what's happening in my body. I'm reacting in ways that I didn't expect. This is, anyways. The next game they show was Pokemon Snap. This is coming April 30th, and this game looks like so much fun, and I can't wait.
Like when they snapping for you to do work on the field.
Let it be known that you are watching Pokemon in their natural habitats, and you're just filming them. You're not capturing them. You're not forcing them to do anything they don't want.
Are you saying you're like National Geographic filming? You know what? I mean.
What exactly is that natural habitat, brother? Africa, the motherland?
One objection I had to the new Pokemon style is the style of the Pokeballs themselves. Why is there a latch on a Pokeball?
Oh, no. That's down the line.
Good question, brother Jordan.
We're not there yet. Yes, in Pokemon Snap, you basically take photos of Pokemon. I'm excited. Can't wait for that. The next thing they show was their coverage for Pokemon Day and all the different games. They're going to do different events. Cool, if you're playing any Pokemon games, you already know because the day has passed since recording this.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Pokemon Day for some reason was bigger this year. I saw like other people that had nothing to do with video games have Pokemon Day related content on their social medias. Lewis Black had one. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? That was weird.
That's pretty cool. Next up they showed, which was the unannounced Pokemon remake games. And now they're announced, it's Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl.
I
absolutely love these names. And it's weird because it's just like, it's not like, oh, those are cool names. Like, I fucking love those names. Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl.
And where did it get these Brilliant Diamonds, my brother?
That's a good question.
Exactly.
How many Blood Diamonds and Shining Pearls do you have to see before we shine some light on the situation?
Talk that talk, King.
Over in the motherland.
Let it be known.
Talk that talk.
There is absolutely no blood in Pokemon. So I don't know what are you talking about, these blood diamonds. If you said Pikachu diamonds, I'd be there.
Conflict diamonds.
That's because they whitewashing reality, my brother. You need to open your third eye.
All right, I guess I'll open my third eye. I mean, damn.
Oh my God.
Okay, this is Bright Diamond and Shining Pearl are coming late 2021. The last thing they showed, the fucking goat that Nintendo is, they dropped Pokemon Legends Aquarius. Aquarius? No, Acrius? Anyways, the legendary weird looking thing with the stomach.
Pokemon Breath of the Wild, nigga.
Pokemon Breath of the Wild, as Marcus said. This is the motherfucking game everyone wanted since the second episode of the Pokemon anime. Like, this is a game where you are out in the wild, you see a Pokemon, you crouch in the tall grass, and you throw a Pokeball, and you try to capture it, and you wait till
and that Jones still running in 20 frames per second.
that game is unlocking so many conversations about Pokemon that don't need to be had. I mean, like, this Poke history seems more sinister than they're letting on.
Talk that talk, King.
You said those Pokemon were just, like, living their lives before people start fucking around and capturing them for no reason.
Exactly, brother.
I mean, I can see how it could be a bad idea, but I think we should give it a chance.
Yeah, sure.
You sound like an apologist, you coon.
Whoa. Wow. Excuse me?
What's next? Marrying Pokemon? Oh, wait. They used to do that back in the day. An abomination, I tell you.
And yes, so back to the game. In this game, you get 3 starters like you would normal in Pokemon, but they're from different genres of Pokemon, and it's about time. So you get Cyndaquil, you get Rowlet, and then you get Oshawott.
What?
Oshawott is the African one, right? That sounds like it's from the motherland.
Actually, that's the real Japanese one.
I'll take it.
And this also, the game takes place in a past version of the Sinnoh region. So you basically are building the first Pokedex. So it's Pokemon through and through, but it's open world, and I am excited. I literally got up and started clapping. It was amazing.
I couldn't notice that you couldn't get up and clap for any of the black games, brother.
God damn, I guess I'll just fucking throw it out again. And that's it. That's pretty much it. Yeah, I'm excited for that. It's coming early 2020, so I couldn't put it on my list for this year. So, you know, there's that, unfortunately.
You mean it's coming early 2022?
What did I say?
2020.
I feel like I said 2022.
All right. Well, anyway, take us home, nigga.
I didn't. This has been another episode of Press X to Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoy making it. Don't forget to rate and review on your favorite podcasting apps and watch all of our cool content, including the latest For the Culture episode. I almost forgot about that. But in video form on our, you know, on our platforms. Check it out. It's cool. Do it. If you're not doing it now, what are you doing? Stop your car. Turn your phone on. Turn off your phone. I don't know. Do it. Shit. You can check all this on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. Until next time, we'll be doing a really big, deep, dig, dab, but.
Dimsdale Dimado.
Here's where I'd be keeping my freedom if I had it.
All right, that's been it. We're out, y'all. Peace.
Leave. Just leave. Get out.
Uno out.